Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part three of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 3 called The Fence Sitter.
But there are many people today who know that Jesus is the King. They know that Jesus is Lord, and they will not follow him. And for a while, that's what Abner did, and now his motives are in question. Who is this guy? Is he really sincere? Now, Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin. This guy's everywhere, kind of being David's spokesman. And in addition, Abner went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron, verse 19. All that seemed good to Israel and all to the house of Benjamin. All this seemed good. Abner was a good salesperson. He was a traveling salesman. He went and spoke here. He spoke there to this group and that group. And Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron. And David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. There's a movie, I think it's out on Netflix right now. It's about the history of McDonald's. Have you guys seen this movie? And what's interesting about the history of McDonald's is that the guy that became the president of McDonald's was not the original founder of the restaurant. It was two brothers. The McDonald's brothers in San Bernardino started a single restaurant, came up with a whole system of doing things, of producing what we would call fast food. And a traveling salesman, I think he was selling milkshake machines at the time, saw their operation, stopped for a cheeseburger or was trying to sell them a milkshake machine, and basically stole the name and the corporation from these two brothers. That's the history of McDonald's, by the way. It's sad. The two brothers realized that they've been basically duped by this man, and they made some mistakes as well. And at the end of the movie, there's people who go to the original McDonald's and take their name off the building. They can't even use their own name anymore. Wow. I don't know how many of you eat at McDonald's, but if you do, you should just repent now. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to make commentary about where you should eat. But so Abner and 20 men came to David at Hebron 20. David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. Abner said to David, "Let me arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord, the king, that they may make a covenant with you, that you may be king over all that your soul desires." So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. From David's side, Abner was a tool. And the kingdom was coming to David, and that was right. That's what should have been happening. So David had a feast for him. There was peace, end of 21. "Behold, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid, brought much spoil with them." Maybe David had purposely sent Joab away. "But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the army that was with him arrived, they told Joab, saying, 'Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king. He has sent him away, and he has gone in peace.'" Three times, verse 21, 22, 23, "he's gone in peace. He's gone in shalom. He's gone in peace." Now, Joab has a little bit of revenge in his heart towards Abner. Do you remember why? Abner killed Asahel, his brother. And he had been nursing revenge in his heart. He wanted to take Abner out. So he returns from a raid, and he gets word that Abner's just been feasting with the king. And not only that, but King David released Abner away in peace. Now, when Abner came back, when Joab came back, he was thinking, "Abner's just been right here? Are you kidding me? This guy is someone I want to deal with." Well, I'll say this. Even if you've been kind of like an Abner, you can have peace with the king because he dies while we are yet sinners. He died for us. He himself is our peace, Ephesians 2:14. So the ways of the king were peaceful with Abner, but Joab was having none of it. And Joab came to the king and he said, 24, "What have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why then have you sent him away? And he is already gone. You know Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive you and to learn of your going out and coming in and to find out all that you are doing. Are you that naive, king? Can you imagine how this is the commander coming to talk to the king? He's basically saying, what have you done? What is your problem? Don't you know that this man's my mortal enemy? Don't you realize he came to spy you out? He's trying to pull a coup here. He wants your throne. He wants to find out your maneuverings. Don't you see it, king? He wants to see all that you're doing. Psalm 120 says, in my trouble I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. Psalm 120, verses 6 and 7 says, too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Have you ever tried to be a peacemaker in a family squabble? Sometimes you find referees in the middle of fights in baseball or hockey. I love the refs in hockey, though. The refs in hockey just stand there and let them pummel each other. Have you noticed that? Bam, bam, bam. And then as soon as they fall on the ice, then I think they've learned. See, all the hockey players are missing teeth anyway, so the ref figures, you know what, I'll just wait. I want to keep my teeth, right? Then they go down on the ground. This is what I used to do when my boys were younger. Let them duke it out a little bit, and then you get involved. Anyway. So, here's what's going on. Joab came out from David. He sent messengers after Abner, probably in the name of the king, 26. And they brought him back from the well of Sirah. But David didn't know about it. So when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the middle of the gate, probably just outside the city gate, because Hebron was a city of refuge, by the way, to speak with him privately. So basically, Joab sends a message in the name of the king. He meets him. He says, hey, come over here. Let's have a conversation in private. Takes him apparently right outside the city gate, outside the city of refuge. And then here's what happens. He struck him in the belly so that he died on account of the blood of Asahel, his brother. Come here, come into my office for a second. But Joab had a sword and he thrust Abner through and Abner died. Now, all the morals here of the situation and revenge and all of that, we know Asahel died in a war. This was personal vengeance. The king is not going to approve of it, but Abner lived by the sword and he died by the sword. You know, when you have somebody like an Abner, here's what happens. If you manipulate enough situations, inevitably it comes back to bite you, or in this case, to pierce you. And Abner was killed on the spot. And this guy was a great warrior. He was a commander. And he died. And afterward, David heard it. It says, when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab, 27, took him aside. He killed him, struck him in the belly, so that he died on account of the blood of Asahel, his brother, Joab's brother. Afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are innocent before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. This was not the king's way. The king's way is for peace. We know David did some stuff, but David was a man of peace. He wanted peace in his kingdom. This was not the way of the king. And so he says, may it fall on the head of Joab and on all his father's house. May there not fail from the house of Joab one who has a discharge or who is a leper or who takes hold of a distaff or who falls by the sword or who lacks bread. David calls a curse down on Joab's house. Write down in your Bible, Deuteronomy 28, 25 through 29. These are curses that Moses had warned the children of Israel about. And now David calls a curse down on him. I wonder how many times in the kingdom of God, the Lord looks from his throne, sees what we do to one another, and just says, this is not my kingdom. I wonder how many non-Christians look at the church, look at sometimes the infighting that happens in the church, and it gives them reason to not want to join or come. And I wonder how many times from heaven the Lord says, this is not the way of my kingdom. Not to repay insult for insult, but to give a blessing instead. It's hard. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had put their brother Asahel to death in the battle at Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes and gird on sackcloth. and lament before Abner. And I think he forced Joab and his brother Abishai to do the same. And King David walked behind the bier. So now there's some sort of funeral procession that goes on. And I think that Joab is not happy about it. He doesn't want this man to have an honorable burial. How many of you have seen the movie Tombstone? Raise up your hand. It's a good cowboy Western movie. But I will warn you, it's very violent. And so here's what happens. Do you remember when they kill the brother of Wyatt Earp and they're going out with the coffin? And you remember some of the attitudes that were going on there? Wyatt Earp turns to the cowboys and says, "I want you to know it's over." And they look at him and they say, "Bye. Bye. See you later." People were laying in coffins, but the attitudes were terrible. I'm sure Abner was upset. David's walking behind this funeral procession. The nation is, in many ways, war.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it. For the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
He doesn't want this man to have an honorable burial. How many of you have seen the movie Tombstone? Raise up your hand. It's a good cowboy Western movie. But I will warn you, it's very violent. And so here's what happens. Do you remember when they kill the brother of Wyatt Earp and they're going out with the coffin? And you remember some of the attitudes that were going on there? Wyatt Earp turns to the cowboys and says, "I want you to know it's over." And they look at him and they say, "Bye. Bye. See you later." People were laying in coffins, but the attitudes were terrible. I'm sure Abner was upset. David's walking behind this funeral procession. The nation is, in many ways, war. And thus they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, who really in many ways represented the house of Saul, and all the people wept. I want you to notice the king as he leads the people, even mourning somebody who had been his enemy. And the king, as we wind down, chanted a lament for Abner and said, "Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put in fetters. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen." And all the people wept again over him. In essence, David said, man, this was a mighty warrior. This was a good man on the battlefield. He fought hard. Maybe he wasn't a good man in the truest sense, but he was a warrior. Should he have died this way in a back alley, getting a knife in his stomach? Is this the way he should have gone out as a fool dies? I heard a pastor tell a story. He said one night he had a dream and he ended up in heaven. He had died in his dream and he was in heaven, and God was speaking to him. And the way he died in his dream, he said he returned back to his old lifestyle, which involved drugs. And he said he was back involved in drugs and drug dealing in the dream. And he died of an overdose or died somehow connected to drug dealing. And he ended up in heaven by the grace of God. And God looked at him and said, "This is everything I had for you in the years that were ahead of you if you had only obeyed me, if you had only got off the fence." The pastor said he woke up from this awful dream in cold sweat. It wasn't real. He had not returned back to his old lifestyle. He had not died in that way. But it was a stark, sobering reality of what can happen if we get spiritually stupid. Saul, at the end of his life, said, "I've played the fool. I've erred exceedingly." Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was still day 35. But David vowed, saying, "May God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else before the sun goes down." David fasted in light of what had happened. Now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, just as everything the king did pleased all the people. It was literally good in their eyes. So all the people and all Israel understood it, spread all over the place far and wide that day, that it had not been the will of the king to put Abner the son of Ner to death. Then the king said to his servants, apparently a smaller group here, "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel?" And finally, he says, "And I am weak today, though anointed king." These men, David had to deal with a lot of stuff from them, these family members. As strong as a leader that he was, you look at the verse for a second. He says, "Though anointed as king, these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too difficult for me. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to his evil." He's not going to do anything to these brothers in the moment. He's going to leave it to the Lord. But he says, "I'm weak today, though I'm the king." Have you ever had a day during the week, or maybe you've had a week, or maybe you feel it right now where you say, "Man, I feel weak today"? Was David one of the strongest men that you could ever read about in all of history? I think so. He took on Goliath. He was mighty in battle. He was strong. But he said, "Because of what had happened in the nation, I am weak today." Look, it's okay if you have some days where you just say, "I am weak today." Can I get a witness? That's okay to admit it, to say, "I'm just not having a good day." I know all Christians often want to respond when someone says, "How you doing today?" You say, "Praise the Lord, I'm doing great." But deep down, you may not be doing so great. David was willing to say, "I'm weak today. This is not a good day." Now, one of the ways to help that is frozen yogurt. I've discovered. No, that's when we need the Lord's strength, right? But David says, "I'm weak today." But here's another way to translate this. David, ESV, translates it, "I was gentle today." See, the two brothers were harsh, but I was gentle today. Now remember, David foreshadows the coming greater David, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if the ESV translates this correctly, "I was gentle today," we know of Jesus, he is gentle and lowly in heart, and in him you will find what? Rest for your souls. "For my yoke is easy," what's he say? "And my burden is light." There's so many times when I go to the throne of God that I would expect that he would be harsh with me. You ever been there before? You come for the 459th time with the same issue. "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have guarded my mouth. I'm sorry." And you expect maybe the Lord to hammer you over the head with, "You should be sorry. Let's go out to the woodshed right now." But instead, he speaks grace into your life. And you're like, "Lord, you're so good. You're so patient." That's the stuff of the kingdom. That's really what he wants us to be with others, but we struggle with that. He says, "May the Lord repay." I'm going to leave it in the Lord's hands. Father, we've tackled a long chapter here, but there's so many good lessons from your word about how we should be living. This chapter ends with the king being gentle. He leaves judgment in your capable hands. Jesus, from the cross, you did not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, Peter says, but you kept entrusting yourself to him who judges righteously. It is so hard, Lord, for us to release our trust to you. When we've been wronged, when we've been hurt, when things haven't gone our way. And can we just ask of you, Lord, to make us more like the greater David, more like Jesus? Make us stronger. And sometimes by becoming stronger, we have to, in some ways, become weaker to become stronger. We have to come to the end of our own resources. When we come to the end of ourself, it's been said, that's where God begins. Help us, Father, in our areas of weakness. Help us in our areas of pride. I'm going to ask you to do a little Selah time with the Lord, a little time of reflection, a little time to pause. Right now, just pause, seek his face, and ask him what he would say to you. Sanctify Christ as King in your heart, as Lord in your heart. Always be ready to give in a defense, a reason for the hope that you have. Enthrone him as King in your heart. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're not sure, God forbid, if you died tonight, you'd be in heaven. If you haven't trusted the finished work of Jesus on the cross, his triumphant resurrection from the dead on your behalf, if you haven't made him Lord and King of your life, do that today. It's something like this. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I've sinned against you and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my pride. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for my rebellion. Lord, I put my full trust in you as my Savior and my Lord. I want to follow you. But I want to trust in your finished work on the cross. Pray it if it's you. And your resurrection for my life. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my King, be my friend. Lead me in the way that you would have me to go. Lord, for all of those who are opening up their hearts to receive you for the first time, maybe to rededicate their lives, maybe to get a little bit closer as a Christian, may you do the work that only you can do in our hearts, Lord. And I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to The Fence Sitter, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. And that was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 3. If you need prayer or encouragement, call us at 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
What do you say to a fence sitter? What if you're the guy and you're looking at yourself in the mirror? What do I do? Get off. Get off the fence, man. Serve the Lord, right? Step in. Dive into the deep end, whatever metaphor you want to use. Make up your mind that today's your day, that you're going to get back where you need to be. You know, every day is a decision, right? We got to make a decision every day that we're going to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth, worship him, serve him. And it doesn't mean that it has to be in a traditional context. You may be going golfing today to the beach. You might be having lunch with a friend. The kingdom of God is not isolated to a building or an hour on a Sunday morning. It's about serving the King, enjoying your life, walking in freedom, sharing the good news of Christ's love, understanding that this is not, if you've put yourself in a box, man, that's not what the Lord has for you. He wants you to be free. Free to live your life, to celebrate with your family, to celebrate with the wife of your youth, to, if you're a single person, to celebrate your singleness and the ability to minister to other people. There's so many ways to redeem the time. Ephesians 5 says, be wise, walk wisely, redeem the time. Yeah, that's what it's all about. And my prayer for you is that you be encouraged to get off that fence and just start living for Jesus, enjoying every moment of your life. Hey, if we can help you in any way, we have a number you can call. We have pastors available 9 to 4 Pacific time, Tuesday through Friday. The number is 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. You can call us off hours as well to share a prayer request. We'll pray for you once we hear it, or to let us know how the program hopefully has blessed you. If you're new to us, we'd love to hear from you. If you've been listening for a while but have never reached out, call the number. Let us know, hey, I'm so-and-so. I listen on this station in this location or podcasting. It's 844-48-TRUTH. Truth. This is Pastor Michael, and we'll see you right here tomorrow.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 4, called I Will Build My Kingdom.
You realize, you know what? God is big enough to deal with my issues, big enough to deal with my problems, big enough to deal with the biggest issues that I might have. And the guys did something symbolic. Around a fire, we wrote down things that we wanted to let go. Maybe besetting sins, maybe things that we struggle with. And they were thrown into a fire. And I'll make a public confession this morning before you. One of the things that I threw in the fire is control.
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.